Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Governor Dennis Dugard has proclaimed today Purple Heart Recognition Day in South Dakota. Joining us on the phone now from Rapid City, Secretary Larry Zimmerman. He's the Secretary of the State Department of Veterans Affairs. Secretary Zimmerman, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Lori. It's just great to be able to be a part of a day like today.
It seems like it's been a while since we've talked to you, but that doesn't mean that you have not been busy, because as I follow your activities throughout the state, you are everywhere at the same time, meeting all kinds of veterans and doing the work that you do. Let's talk about this day, Purple Heart Recognition Day, because it's something that you were influential in talking to Governor Dugard about. Tell us that story, if you will.
Well, you know, Purple Heart is, if I could, what it's awarded for.
Yeah.
It's awarded for being wounded or killed in any action against the enemy of the United States, or as a result of any act of such enemy or opposing armed forces. So to be a recipient of this award is a big, big, huge deal in combat. And Governor Dugard recognized that, and so yearly we actually have a proclamation every year, and started that a few years ago, to recognize these recipients. And just to, again, the two words, Lori, I've always used them, education and awareness, to make the citizens aware of what our heroes have done for us.
Is quite a process to go through the paperwork and the documentation as well, as I understand it. It's not an award that is handed out lightly.
No, you're receiving this, you know, of course, in the combat field. Many folks have received them, but to get the paperwork, get the documentation. Interesting story, if you've got a second. I'm working on a Purple Heart today for a Vietnam veteran, so we're talking 5 decades ago.
Wow.
This will be his second one. And in conversations with him, it came up, well, yeah, I was wounded here, but we didn't do that. And, you know, in the thick of the fight, it's hard to get everything down and remembered. And so we hope to get that to this gentle young man from the Vietnam War very soon.
Right. And I think that's important for listeners to understand, is it's not something that usually the person who has been wounded, or even the family, if they've lost someone, that's not the first thing they think about. So often it goes unnoticed or put off, because there's so much else happening when someone is wounded in combat or killed in action.
Yeah, the saddest ones are those that get them posthumously, and I unfortunately have four that I remember dearly from my tour in Afghanistan that received the Purple Heart Award, but their family did, because they didn't make it back alive. So it's near and dear to a lot of folks.
How many Purple Heart recipients do we have in South Dakota? Can you put the numbers in perspective for us?
Yeah, and we try to get an exact number, but this is very close. There's 345 living Purple Heart recipients within our state. And go back a little bit, you know, just the Guard has 52 since 2001, our South Dakota Army Guard. So, but you have those 345 living in all eras, the World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and the present conflict we're still in.
For way of education and awareness, let's talk a little bit about the history of the medal itself. It goes back to George Washington time, in the very beginning of the Republic. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, and you're talking 1782.
Wow.
And George Washington, you know, it's got his side view on the medal itself, on the purple satin, but many, you know, have been awarded since then, and there's actually millions, Lori, that have been throughout the ages and since 17. I think I looked up once, and it's like 1.9 million.
Wow.
That's as of 2010 from all wars since it was started.
Give me an idea of the organization who sort of oversees, the history of the Purple Heart, or how is it? Is it centralized somewhere? How does is it the United States military who does this work?
And of course, it has an acronym, MOPH.
Of course, it does. So, yeah.
Imagine that. But Military Order of the Purple Heart.
Okay.
And so our region has a great hero, Ken Tunison. He's actually in Sisseton today, up at the reservation. He is I'm going to call him the regional commander for our state and then some surrounding areas, and a Purple Heart recipient himself from Vietnam. And so that organization is nationwide, and I'm very familiar. Actually, I'm leaving Saturday for our conference in Boston. My counterparts across the nation, 54 of us, and that's states and territories. But we have a young man that's out there, Vietnam veteran, lost an arm on a helicopter, and he works in D.C. with Military Order of the Purple Heart. And they oversee and overwatch all recipients and awardees of that medal.
You mentioned what's happening in Sisseton-Wahpeton with the tribe today. That is the first reservation or first tribe being designated as a Purple Heart reservation. Let's talk about the significance of that and then how it sort of comes to pass.
Well, and I think it's very significant because there's many recipients within that tribe, I think over 20 that have had the Purple Heart. A couple of names, and again, Ken Tunison is the regional commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, living in Sioux Falls, and Jerry Opsahl, the tribal service officer, got together. They are, and Sisseton-Wahpeton is the second tribe in the nation to receive this, and the first of our South Dakota tribes to get it. And Jerry Opsahl and Ken Tunison worked together, got the recognition through the organization, and today, and I wish I could be at that ceremony, but today they're having the ceremony designating the tribe as a Purple Heart Reservation. It's very exciting for them, for their warriors that have fought over the years, and for some present-day Purple Heart recipients in the tribe.
Do you know what if there's a process or how that process works? Is there documentation that is needed? Are they looking for, a historical a contribution to military service? What makes the designation possible?
Well, and I think if we go back just a bit, with the Military Order of the Purple Heart, a few years ago, if you remember, we designated Interstate 90 as Military Purple Heart Byway, if you will, and had an opening at Exit 1 and an opening at the last exit in the state by Sioux Falls, Minnesota border. And there's many other highways. Well, not exactly the same process, but with the Military Order of the Purple Heart and the application process through them, you can become that tribe or have that highway designated. So a little different. There are many recipients in the tribe, and Sisseton-Wahpeton has always, stepped up, and Jerry Opsahl as a tribal service officer went after things to, again, help educate, make people aware, and have that designation. And it's just an honor for them along with the recipients. So you've got to start with the Military or the Purple Heart organization and go through their process of paperwork.
Is there an obligation then for the tribe or regarding, the highway? Once the designation like that happens, is there something that happens after the fact?
Well, and not billboards, but there's signage that's very significant. And as Interstate 90 has it at many of the rest stops across the state, showing that it's a Purple Heart Highway, Sisseton-Wahpeton will have signage at the entries and exits of the reservation to show that it is a recipient of that designation. And I think, again, that's just a reminder for those driving and or passing by that you have had and have residents that live here that are Purple Heart recipients, and that the tribe has had many folks fight in our wars and fight for our freedoms and received the Purple Heart Award.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest is Secretary Larry Zimmerman. He's Secretary of South Dakota's Department of Veteran Affairs. And Secretary Zimmerman, I'm wondering about the South Dakota Veterans Cemetery, if there are any updates on that, the East River project.
Well, and we're very, very excited about that. I've met a few times with the city officials of Sioux Falls, the new mayor and council that's now in place. We have the gifting contract, I'm going to call it, of the land from Sioux Falls to our department and state that's just being finalized. And when you go through that gifting, it seems like it'd be easy to, you know, hand a gift to somebody and the receiver gets it. But it's many different things, from environmental, everything has to be gone through. So that gifting agreements, contracts being worked. We've done a pre-application to the federal VA that had to take place prior to July 1st. That took place. And I'm hoping, I have, a conference coming up. I leave for Saturday. The Undersecretary of Memorials, which works with the cemeteries, where we'll get the 100% funding from, will be there. I'm hoping to get a nod or a wink that, hey, South Dakota's on the list. That's what happens after the pre-application, Lori. We receive notice that we're prioritized. We're hoping as a state that we are number one because of the population of veterans in the eastern part of the state, 42,000 plus that are within that 12-mile circle. So we're waiting on news that we're going to be number one in the nation, and then we go through the application process for the millions of dollars to build the facility.
Other things that you're looking forward to in that conference that might be of note to South Dakota listeners today?
Well, I think, as I said, it's our counterparts, my counterparts from the 54 states and territories, and I believe I just got a message yesterday that 49 of us will be in attendance, including the Caribbean, Virgin Islands, and Dominican Republic. We have many, many of the states. There's just a few that might be missing. We meet with the new VA Secretary, Wilkie. He will give us 45 minutes to an hour and a half. That's, I'm going to say, one-on-one, him with us as a contingency. We have a memorandum of agreement with the VA, our organization does, and we work with the VA closely to try to give them input of our state's issues, concerns. And so I think significant to our veterans in the state is that they do have an ear with the secretary via me, and all issues and concerns can be discussed. And looking forward to meeting the new secretary of the VA.
Right. Well, hopefully you'll join us and talk to us a little bit when you come back upon your return with updates on some of those key issues. And let's just leave, Secretary Zimmerman, our time together today with the, you spend, this is every day. For you, this is something that's your work. It's what you're personally interested in. You are wearing red every Friday to remember everyone who is deployed. Other people who are listening right now, they don't really think about it that much. They don't have to. So on Purple Heart Recognition Day, just give a message to those folks who are listening now about what's important about taking a moment today to sort of think about what Purple Heart Recognition Day means in South Dakota.
Well, one thing for sure that all of the South Dakotans have to remember is we're able to remember and honor this day. We're able to say a Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. We're able to go to our churches and process our faith because of those that have fought for our freedoms. So Purple Heart Day is a special recognition of those that may have been killed fighting for our freedoms, and those that have been wounded, and they live amongst us, 345 still in our state. So as always, remember our veterans, remember our special veterans that have been wounded fighting for our freedoms, And you know what, Lori? I say to you, the old Marine, go out and smell a rose and enjoy life a little bit.
All right, will do. Secretary Larry Zimmerman, always a pleasure. Thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.